We'll start with an update from the trade war. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Trade talks between the U.S. and China are going very well, according to President Trump yesterday. As for the March 1st deadline for a deal or U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods go up sharply, the president said it's, quote, not a magical date. A Chinese government newspaper just ran an editorial warning new tariffs and counter tariffs would, quote, be catastrophic for stock markets. A Chinese delegation is headed to Washington for the next round set for tomorrow. But as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports, it's not clear if they're getting anywhere on the most challenging items.
The easy part is Beijing pledging to buy more American stuff. Soybeans, natural gas, helicopters. The hard part? Undoing a Chinese system that critics say subsidizes homegrown companies illegally, blocks competition, and siphons American technology. David Hathaway is with the D.C. consultancy Albright Stonebridge.
We haven't seen a willingness on the Chinese side to bring much new to the table in the areas where there's the most U.S. concern.
Those areas sparked tariffs on Chinese imports that are scheduled to go up on March 1st. Before lowering them, the U.S. wants China to commit to playing fair or suffer the consequences. Lynn Fisher Fox, a former U.S. trade negotiator, says American officials have options.
They could pull those tariffs back and then hold and reserve the ability to put them back in place.
Any deal would likely be a general framework with a roadmap for more talks. As for the March 1 deadline, President Trump said it's not, quote, a magical date and could be extended. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Checking numbers, the FTSE in London is up 0.1%. U.S. stock index futures are down slightly, minus 0.1% for the S&P future. Now a fresh installment of If Only We Had an App, today's edition, Tide Detergent. You might think it's about selling laundry soap, but this app takes a more meta view of cleaning clothes. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports on how the tide has turned.
The business pitch was clearly Uber, but for laundry. Tide's maker Procter & Gamble says it'll expand its app-based wash and fold service to hundreds of cities in the next year. P&G's Sundar Raman says it is a shift for the company.
The brand has always been known as this iconic orange bottle on a store shelf.
Instead, a customer could leave their dirty clothes in an orange Tide drop box placed in their apartment's lobby or a local supermarket. The Tide app would notify an affiliated cleaner to pick the clothes up. P&G already runs similar services in a few cities and at colleges, and it will compete against several other laundry startups. Bruce Beggs at the trade magazine American Dry Cleaner says on-demand laundry delivery is a growth industry.
Laundry is one of those things that we have to do, but it's not necessary that we have to be the ones who do it.
And millennials in particular are doing less laundry in-house. That's because they're less likely to own homes than previous generations and more likely to rent apartments without a washer and dryer in unit. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible. Now to a story about electric scooters with a serious theme. The scooters have taken U.S. cities by storm over the last year with companies such as Lime and Bird now valued at about $2 billion each. Cities are scrambling to write the rules for these things amid many trips to the emergency room by riders. Now, it's also true that there's danger in biking or just walking, but we have Marketplace's Jack Stewart now on the unintended consequences of scooting.
The other evening, here in LA, I was headed to a restaurant about a mile and a half away, and I really didn't want to drive. So I hopped on one of the now ubiquitous electric scooters that you rent by the mile.
So it's really as simple as tracking one of these things down via the app, scanning a code on the handlebars, and I should be ready to go.
I often use them for short journeys these days. They can be a lot of fun. They have peppy acceleration, which whooshes them forwards quietly, although the small wheels do tend to thud a bit into the bumps.
You get up a fair speed. I'm on a fairly empty road, so I feel quite safe here. But I can understand how you could take a fall, too.
Vishal Bansal is chief of trauma surgery at Scripps Mercy Hospital in San Diego. And the list of scooter injuries he's treated is enough to make me rethink my transit choices.
wrist fractures, arm fractures, leg fractures, pelvic fractures, spine fractures, severe traumatic brain injury, bleeding in the brain.
Yeah, and that's just one ER. Ryan Felton at Consumer Reports called 110 hospitals across the country to get the bigger picture.
The motivating factor for me in doing this reporting was that there is no national data on this at this point.
He was able to count at least 1,500 ER visits since the scooter onslaught began in late 2017. In a statement, Bird says those injuries are only a fraction of 1% of total rides. Lime says it's working on educating riders on safety. As state and city authorities are scrambling now to regulate scooters, they're also demanding data from operators, which could eventually help with accident prevention. Offer Grembeck at UC Berkeley says roads are built for cars, sidewalks for people, bike lanes for, well, bikes.
There's a misalignment between an emerging mode that appeared over the course of a year and a half and the street design, which has been there for decades.
If cities want these disruptive new arrivals to be a safe option, they might have to get inventive. Of course, none of this is simple. The injuries trauma surgeon Dr. Bansal sees are often when people add extra risk factors.
Intoxication, driving at night, and driving without a helmet, and driving against the rules.
So the message is really, these things can be fun, they can even be efficient, but the onus on being safe is on us. For Marketplace, on an e-scooter, I'm Jack Stewart.
And we're also covering the biggest mining company in the world capping its coal production as Glencore sees the writing on the wall about climate change. It'll be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed later on if you miss our coverage on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.